I'm starting my recording because I think Rob is watching Lord of the Rings. It texted that it's going to be 10 minutes late. I'm looking at a picture of the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge. I don't know where he is. Did he start it before we recorded? That's a long movie. So was he thinking he'd like start it and then finish it after we were done? Like, I think he's, can he hear me? I don't know. I don't know if it do like a little ping or something. Could he hear me then? Oh, there's a little prolog to
Uh-oh.
our podcast.
Oh, God. Okay, let me turn off Lord of the
I
Rings here.
okay, I knew it was because that's what my recording was about. I have
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights.
All I heard was Frodo go, "Get off the road," and I was like, "Oh, better get off the road."
They are. They're avoiding
the ring.
What are they called?
Wraiths.
The ring wraiths.
Man, I think I have started Fellowship of the Ring more than any other film, and never like I always get like an hour and something in. It's never because I don't like. It's just I can't devote time to that film.
My dad and my sister and I have this shared. We love this movie. They love it so much more than I do. Or these movies.
I love the idea of them, and I want to like own them and like watch them because I think they're like, yeah, I remember when we were younger, they were very good. Like we saw them all in theaters. I did at least. But like I said, I think I've literally seen them all once, just the first time. I don't think I've ever seen them after that.
Honestly, I think I've seen them 1,000 times, but it's always background noise to me. Like that's the whole reason it was on is honestly my computer will shut off if there's no activity on the computer. So I just kind of put it on to make sure my computer won't turn off.
Man, what is it? The first movie, we went and like, there's like no other seat. So we had to sit in the very first row. Whenever I think of the first movie, I have like a bad bodily memory because I was so sick for so much of that film.
That's an awkward head tilt for sure. Yeah, I went and saw it on, I saw the first one and the second one on Christmas Day with my sister and my dad. So, you know, it's that lovey-dovey.
It's the lovey-dovey, man. You got to have the lovey.
I don't know if you're supposed to use that term for family, but.
I'm not trying to, like, cosplay being in the woods. I'm just cold.
Hey, it's like I'm there already, right? Look at my
floating
background.
Over. I'm trying to think of what side that is. Is that the...
Is this Alcatraz?
No, I think that's San Francisco.
No, the little like right off the coast here.
I don't think so. I think Alcatraz is more to your right hand side. Use your right hand and move. Do you see where that island is starting over there?
Right.
I mean,
the thing is,
that's probably Angel Island instead of Alcatraz. Alcatraz is probably. I don't even know what direction we're looking at. I mean, there's the sun. Is the sun setting or rising? I don't know.
Well, enough about
everyone.
That.
I'm going to make a big mistake here. Welcome.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to our mother. Start of summer.
Sometimes we're just so warmed up that I want to bottle the magic of how... of how great and smooth we're sounding. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I feel I'll talk about what it was like to listen to the song over and over again. I'll just say it's kind of like one of these things is not like the other game where I'm like I'm trying to catch little things between verses. I'm like, that feels different. Is that different? They're in up here in the newspapers up north, they're called Hocus Focus. This song is like a game of hocus pocus to me, a good game, a fun game, but I feel very hocus focused. People who get the Mercury will understand that, I hope. But
yes.
You were going to set us up officially.
This is episode 84. I am Rob.
I am Colton.
And today we are going to be discussing, should we say, the 1993 hit song from the 1988 album from Danzig?
That sounds right.
The song Mother, which is the first mother of a whole bunch of mothers ahead of us.
We have a mother. I've been looking for a father band or something. And
figure. I'm just kidding, Steve.
Like, how
I'm
many
just
different
kidding.
Fathers can we do to counter this? Not a lot. I don't think, I'm sure there was like a metal band named Father, but I don't know who they are.
It's probably some sort of Danzig tribute.
Man, so I'm saying this with some hesitance because whenever I'm not teaching, my grasp on time is very slippery. But I believe we are 2 weeks still from you visiting. One week.
That's from
right.
today.
That is, and I say that with full tech for us, I guess a week and a half. Because I'm not going to see you till the Wednesday.
I mean, for the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
This is classic. This happened.
Pause. I want to get the logistics of Rob's visit. Let's take 10 minutes for us to talk this out.
It's going to be another like when you went to Hawaii. I'm back already.
Oh, you're back.
I'm already back home by the time everybody's listening Friendship to this
over.
Episode.
I think, I don't know what happened. One of us did or said something. Maybe you.
I probably had a panic attack in the middle of Oracle Field.
I mean, I'll do this. How about this? I'm going to Nostradamus. Yeah, I'm going to Nostradamus.
No, it's called Culturabis, buddy.
This. First of all, very quickly, because I have been listening to past episodes. We really, I listened to the Modest Mouse episode out of curiosity. Man, we sports talked that whole episode. I felt bad for the.
I love it.
But things had happened. That was just when Shohei got signed. So we were in it. Mm-hmm. I was not right for my Culturabis. The Knicks won and they won in five. So I'm double wrong.
Did
you have Knicks in six? What'd you have?
I had Knicks in seven.
This is why no one should gamble.
But
it's not good.
That was a great series. Even though it was only five games, every game
Would you
was
believe
close.
I didn't get to watch one game of it? I wanted to, but we got rid of our cable when we moved. We cut cable again.
Okay.
And like, there's no way to watch the finals without ESPN Unlimited, I guess. That's a hefty toll.
Colton, there are so many illegal avenues.
Now
to
let's
do this.
List them.
I haven't
let's
had
all
cable.
List them out. I should have asked you. I should
have. Stream East. Stream East Sports Surge.
Let's beat these out. We don't want the authorities to catch wind of this, mainly because, but I will get in touch with you after this. And if you also know places that I can watch football this upcoming season, email us at no.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com.
Oh, and I tried to give us a new avenue, a new place for people to follow us. I tried to get a no.your.writes.podcast@OnlyFans. I went through,
and
we got
actually?
Rejected. I went through the whole procedure. I was so excited. Like I passed all the time. I'm going to give OnlyFans a lot of credit. You have to take a photo of your ID, and then you have to take three different photos from like one from arm length, one right like a little bit closer, and one straight up to your face. And then you have to take a photo of you holding your ID.
Can I ask how close are you to emailing me and saying, "Hey, but I need you to send me a picture of your ID."
I thought that was going to be the case. I thought that's why it would be rejected, because like this is.
And how is that conversation going to go? Were you going to tell me what it was for, or were you going to be like, just trust me, you just have to do this?
I was anticipating getting rejected and going like, we can have an OnlyFans, Colton, if you're.
Oh, were you
down.
Anticipating pushback up from me? That seems out of character.
I figured you were gonna be like, I'm a college professor, I can't have an OnlyFans, and I'm like, it's fun.
And this is not an OnlyFans, but I remember I was very close to doing a Kickstarter. This was years ago though, and this was when I was in grad school, and I wanted to record something in a studio, and it was like a batch of songs that I never recorded, and I forgot them all, so it doesn't matter anymore. And I was trying to think of like what would be rewards I could offer. Like, because I had nothing, but it was like I still had like a pool of fans from the releases I had done with Quote Your Pulse. So I probably had the biggest fan pull I would ever have in my life. And I think one I'd come up with is, I will drive to your house and mow your lawn.
That's a good sell.
I had no other thing. I'm like, unless if you're not from California, I guess I can't do that. But I did never do it because honestly, the idea of people funding a record for me just feels irresponsible to ask people to do.
You should have pulled an Ezra Furman where he would, you know, like, just give me your information and I'll write a song.
You know, I think we,
which he did for Default or
for Bar Lights. For Bar Lights. Yeah. Our former band, which I like to remind us both that we were in Bar Lights, cause I forget all the time, but I feel like I have so much more. I'm just excited to see you. Well, I have seen you. So, but I am excited to see you in the next week.
I'm saying. Next week. Yeah.
Today I'm pretty excited, but
you could show it more.
I did send us I don't want to get this wrong. You reminded me what we call this segment. What is it?
Something new.
We should have a little something new. I don't know. That seems weird.
I will definitely.
There you go.
Take that audio right there.
To the bank. I actually, today comes with a little bit of a like mortality reminder to my something new. And this felt like an interesting choice because we had just discussed the new Modest Mouse track, which I wanted to quickly ask you, have you heard the new Modest Mouse record now?
I have not.
Can I tell you, from what I have heard, I have not had enough time to sit down and listen to the whole thing. Man, we're back.
Thank God.
It is not like the previous records, and it is not like which makes a lot of sense because it is really just Isaac Brock at this point. It's essentially his solo project, Ugly Casanova. And from what I understand, these were those side project songs that he decided to make a Modest Mouse record out of. But man, what I have heard, like the track Dogbed, which it has like in very Modest Mouse form, it has a second song like spliced into it, Give It a Skeleton. But Dogbed is, I guarantee you will feel the same as me. I'm like, man, this is, I'm excited. In fact, I'm close to making a crazy decision with you. I'm going to hold up. The reason I brought up this new song is Death Cab for Cutie also came out with a new record. And honestly, I did not know.
I actually had heard this song when I selected the new Modest Mouse song. The second song that played was this Death Cab.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't like it when I first heard it.
It is... We did Death Cab's Transatlanticism on this pod with Alex.
We did with Alex. Okay, you know what? I was trying to remember if we had done any.
Very rarely has this podcast done this to me, but like this, it has made me appreciate bands, albums, songs that I haven't appreciated as much in the past. But very rarely has a podcast actually made me like reevaluate and like a band less. It's happened, I want to say twice. It's happened during our Say Anything episode. And that wasn't anything that you did. That was just me coming to grips with my Say Anything love and going, well, I think this band is really bad. Like, really, really bad.
Minus an album or two.
Like, literally.
Okay, never mind. I won't.
I think literally one. No, I think you're right. But it is like, what does that mean, though? I don't know. And then the other one is this band, Death Cab for Cutie. Because I was going in really high on that record because it had such a space for me when I was in high school. Listening back to it, that record is not aged well, I think. And I don't know about Death Cab in general. You and I have a love for Crooked Stairs. And there's some other ones, I think.
Wait, Narrow is it Narrow Stairs?
Crooked. There's something else that's crooked. What's crooked?
Their decisions sometimes.
Yeah, Narrow Stairs is great. Plans is really good.
Yeah,
I fell off on Death Cab though. Like I see little options for albums they've put out since then that like, and I heard a few singles from those albums and basically was like, nope, I'm Justified. I think they kind of lost it. I didn't know they had a new album coming out. This track, which is just for everyone to follow along, Punching the Flowers. I liked it. I think it is. I always struggle with them because there's a version of them that they have been kind of like Modest Mouse, right? They've had like different tracks. And this is not the Death Cab that I'm familiar with. And it's weirdly somewhat regressive in terms of I think at least like songwriting maturity. I don't know how you say you didn't like it at first. What didn't you like about it?
When it first kicks off, you know, they're like, doom, doom, bam, doom, banana. Right when he starts singing, I was like, this reminds me of, not that this is a bad thing, I guess, but it reminded me of Arctic Monkeys.
Yes, yes.
Like to where like his little vocal melody and everything, to where I was like, okay, this just doesn't sound like Death Cab. And when it hits, this is all just the audio or the sonic textures of it. When it hits the chorus, I feel like it's too much guitar action coinciding with the vocal melody that it just doesn't,
like something should drop properly out to me. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like give something the spotlight.
Maybe like the little noodling in between, cut that out. I just listen to Mother. Like listen to what Mother does and you got it. No, but I agree with, and I think some of that too is, and I'm trying to like, I don't want to step on what we talked about with transatlanticism, but I just don't, Ben Gibbard doesn't know what to do with his voice most of the time. Like his voice has one flat plateau. When Death Cab is heavy or when it's quiet, it's the same, like the same register, the same emotive, like, and when he goes higher, he's not really going higher. He's not really going harder. And
he's definitely got that in between head voice and chest voice.
Exactly. And that it does kind of add to it feeling kind of muddled. Like it's very, I guess, very mid, as the kids say. But once I agree. So once I got past some of that, though, I like the chorus. I think the chorus is really kind of neat.
The thing that actually made me appreciate the song more was reading the lyrics alongside I think the first verse lyrics are, as a kid say, mid. But as it progresses, I start really appreciating his lyrical prowess. Because, you know, it always seemed he was punching at flowers. I hate ruminating. It's just too big a word. I know, not that it's a big word, but you know what I mean? To where there's, I don't know if you do know what I mean. It just seems like there are times, and we'll discuss it when we hit Mother, to where I find, what's the more, like relatable words, where ruminating has a little bit more of a push to just kind of like, okay, let me look up what ruminating means. Sure, it's just not as quickly accessible.
I think it's hard because you're right. It's not like the super like rare, like random word necessarily. I like the sound of it, which longtime listeners know I'm a big fan of the sounds of words. I do think
same.
What you're making a good point that looking at like the verses, like we've talked about this a lot, like this sort of setting the parameters of the voice of the song and somewhat like the vocab, it does kind of come out of nowhere. I think that's what makes it so striking, right? Like the first verse is like doing a pretty good job of setting up more of a kind of direct, but still interesting kind of lyrical approach. And then even the first line, like, I don't know, is punching the flowers an expression I'm unaware of?
Because I would be unaware of it as well, but I get I get what it's saying. It's just like, it's not smelling the rose. It's punching.
Yeah, maybe stop punching the flowers. I mean, I assume it's
like appreciate.
But yeah, ruminating like a fatalist for hours. I don't hate it, but I can see how it does. Even the fatalist after it, like it's like $2, $5 words when you've been using $2 words up until that point. And it is somewhat of a jarring thing, but he kind of does that.
But the very following line, like the close out to the chorus with a voice like the sound of slamming doors.
That's a very good line.
Yeah. Tori, I'm like that establishes what I believe this song is talking about. You know, Tori, it's like you're kind of getting in your own way at a chance at love, at a chance at happiness.
So this is actually a good place to bring this into you. For me, at least with Death Cab, is listening to this song and like finding things to like about it and then going, but man, I keep bringing it up, but Narrow Stairs felt like a culmination of something for that band. Like it's a really cool achievement. And to me, what's crazy at this band is their first record came out in like 1998. Like the first like record that like we have the facts and we're voting yes, which is like probably one of their best. That's like 2000 or something. So they've been around for like 30 years, give or take. A little more than 30. And Modest Mouse has also been around for like 30 plus years. And I wanted to put that in perspective for you, which is, I was trying to think of a band that this would be like the most kind of, you know, like when we were young, we talked a lot about Neil Young and the Heart of Gold doc, right? And the album that came out, Prairie Wind. From the first Neil Young record to when Prairie Wind came out, it had been like 32 years. So Death Cab is in that phase of their career as Neil Young was when he was doing Heart of Gold. So that's like, and it's weird because you don't think about it that way, right? Like, I'm sure that's true for everybody with their kind of generational bands.
Oh, shit. What is it? The first Star Wars is closer to World War II than it is to now.
Yeah, I mean, we could play, and it's not a fun game to play, but...
Tyrannosaurus Rex is is closer to now than the Stegosaurus.
Oh my god, that's wild. So my question though is longevity a good thing? Like that's I guess, and I should caveat this. Obviously, this is their jobs and they get paid for these jobs, and it's good for them that they're making, they're supporting themselves. But artistically, we've had this discussion with bands a lot where I have said it. You haven't said it as much because you're a better person than I am. But I've said something to the fact of, I don't know if they need to produce music as that band anymore. Like bands that feel kind of washed creatively. I don't know.
I don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong with it. I mean, put it out, whatever. It'll hit how it... I would be upset if this song won a Grammy. But you sent me this song in video form. You sent me the music video. And I'll tell you this much. Don't make a music video.
That music video is insufferable. If anyone's seen can I tell you my first... Ben, can I tell you my first thought?
Please.
Because the whole video is like these like couples doing this like interpretive dance in this. And then my first thought was, this is why no one takes white people seriously anymore.
Dude, Ben Gibbard dancing. And he's just doing the exact same dancing motion.
It's all, and they're all just like, oh, like they're us age, right? They're a little older than us, obviously, but
I like that.
Us plus age. And that's how I feel, man. I'm like, man, this is a rough watch.
It's so rough because Ben Gibbard has like a really nice haircut. Dancing looks like he's trying to fit in.
That sway.
And he does it the entire video. There is no shift to how he's dancing. And I don't know. It was that part made me go, longevity is bad.
Yeah. Well, because
this is
there's one theory, right? That the longer a band is together, the better they play with each other, right? The more like they can kind of fine tune an artistic voice together and like keep producing things. And I theoretically right? Yeah. But how often have we seen, and like period, like ever, and I'm talking band, not singer songwriter, not like one individual. That feels like a different conversation. But how often have you seen a band produce like their best work or even like great work 30 plus years in like new material? I mean, we literally talked about Modest Mouse, and I think it's still, the jury's still out.
Yeah. I'll definitely listen to that album at some point here. And I said it before that I was very confident that they'd be one of those bands to where it just carries on. Jimmy Eat World is a band that kind of fits that format. Definitely not Tool.
Are there like classic rock bands that you can think of?
You know what's sad is I looked over and I have my Beatles little shrine over here. And the first thought I have is I'm like, most of their solo stuff's not that good. No offense, Paul.
Oh, did you like the new record? I was going to ask you about the new Paul McCartney record.
I love you, Paul. Best I can say. No,
but it's probably a longer conversation, so maybe one for another day. But it did make me think about it, because you and I have never had I wouldn't necessarily call it privilege, but it is kind of a privilege, right? Where your songwriting and like being in a band is what draws all of your income. And like, so the idea of wanting that to be, I mean, it's like with TV shows, right? Like is a TV show in season 10 through 15 as good as seasons 1 through 5? Most people would say no, right? I know you're thinking of The Office right now. So you're immediately thinking of I could see your eyes doing mental calculations. Like, did I like the end seasons of Office more?
Yeah, when Michael Scott left, it gets a little rougher. But you know, Kevin and
Yeah.
Creed
Oh,
carry
I'm
the
sure. I'm
comedy.
sure. So that's the deal.
This is your fault. I was trying to think my way around it, and then you just
But
shoved
then
it
you
back in
think
my
about
face.
like, well, people had jobs that whole time, and that's great. So I don't know. I think
If we were being paid for our music, we'd be
is this
writing music.
podcast?
We'd be dancing like
Is
goofballs
it?
in a music video, and this
I
podcast doesn't
was
make
gonna say,
us
is this podcast
anything.
getting better with time? I don't know either.
I like to think so. The Stan episode had a whole bunch of
Hey, yeah,
listens.
you know what? I take that back. We are not even the exception. We're the rule. We are.
For the us ages, we're
Yeah. All
doing
right.
good.
Well, no. Let's end it there because you're making me feel good. I want it before I muck it up.
I kind of wanted to say more about this song.
You want to say more about this song? Okay.
Okay, the second verse I think has really good lyrics, and the bridge has really good lyrics.
Want to do more?
I mean,
I feel
yeah,
like we talked a lot.
I
There's
really like
42
the.
minutes in.
Come on, he had mildew on his soul from standing at the coastline, wishing it would swallow him
Okay, I
whole.
was trying to give you an out. I don't like that line. I don't like mildew
Okay,
on his
fine. What
soul.
about what about during the bridge where he hits the I'm not sure which is worse, if God laughs or if he doesn't, and I'm not sure which is worse, if it was love or it wasn't.
That's good.
I don't like this song
No,
anymore.
I don't like dislike it.
You did it. You did it. You dragged me into the fucking
See, we
mud.
were ending on a good note. I kind of think we should cut this. Sad.
That was a
Give the
sad
people a
moment.
happy
Colton, don't say those words to me. I'm way too juvenile.
Well.
Here's your happy ending, everybody. Bass blown.
Okay. Well, are you? I do think we should cut all of
Oh my
that.
God. I know that's not your humor.
Got the whole, I mean,
Everybody,
we've already
bass
cut. We're
blown.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Bassblown Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Bassblown on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Bassblown on social media and discord.gg/bassblown for our Discord. Bassblown Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Welcome to the Siren Songbook, a podcast where we discuss female artists, their music, their history, and the impact they've made on the music industry. Join us each month as we pick a new inspirational artist and celebrate exactly what it is that makes them so magical.
You can listen to new episodes of the Siren Songbook on Spotify every last Wednesday of the month. The Siren Songbook, a Bassblown Entertainment podcast.
You're lucky we don't have an OnlyFans. I would have kept that whole last part in there. I know how to edit it down.
Can I ask you something? Is it only sex stuff, OnlyFans, or is it like other people are in it for like a
Apparently, it's only for models. That was the main reason we got rejected was it's like we're unclear what you're trying to do
what are you
here.
guys? What's your deal? I mean, I feel like most sites have like a obsessive reason for why they exist, and then like the real reason, which is like, oh no, it's all weird sex stuff. But like it's interesting that they're like forward with, no, it's all weird sex
Yeah, I think that there's the sex side of it, but then there's also just the modeling, a good looking person, not necessarily doing, you know, feet
stuff.
stuff and
Not
stuff like that. Yeah.
the doing of the sex, the suggesting of
Yes.
the
I'm trying to reset. I'm trying to
you gotta get
reset.
yourself. I keep thinking this is a Nancy Reagan thing, but it's Tipper Gore. Like I keep
It's
wanting to
Tipper
think
Gore. Yeah.
it's Reagan.
Yeah, I know. I kept thinking Thatcher.
I Which old white lady politician is it that this song is sticking
Is dancing going after.
to?
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. I feel ready. Whenever you're ready.
Yeah. I'm not ready. Let's go.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody. A little bit of shenanigans that
We
here, but
shenanigans it up, man. We're killing it. I am I'm really excited because you talked this song up, and this is one of those cool things I get to learn about you because I've known you for a long time, and I'm pretty certain you and I have never had a conversation about this song or dancing,
Or the
or
Misfits, anything
right.
like that. It's not really my avenue of music. I can appreciate it, obviously. I like all genres of music, but this song, it's not like I can't tell you the first time I heard the song. I have zero recollection of that, but I know I've just heard it over time. And every time I've heard it, it's kind of gradually gone from, yeah, it's a good song, to, damn, that's a really good song, to now I've just kind of reached this point and I'm like, this is kind of a perfect song to me.
Yeah.
I've evaluated on so many different fronts, and it doesn't hurt the cause that we play with a band who has covered this song so many times.
Oh.
So I get reminded of this song quite often.
Another band you all shared bills with plays at all time. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
I was
not
gonna say, I was like,
you.
now I
Sorry.
really am worried
Colton, you don't remember playing
that
the I actually listened to this album last weekend.
I didn't go that far.
And first of all, I had stuff to do around the house, so it's like, yeah, let me throw on some music. Not really folding clothes music, but the album is a lot of this, and the first song definitely stuck with me, but the best song on this album is the one we're gonna
I want to
discuss.
say this with like all the love in the world because I don't know how else to categorize it. Like this, like I put Misfits, Danzig, and like it's funny because like the other band that comes to mind to me is like Queens of the Stone Age. And like
Okay.
and
Yeah.
I think this might be a phrase. I don't know. Like, Queens of the Stone Age, especially. I love Queens of the Stone Age. I
Plenty of
bought
great songs.
their last record. I thought it was great, Times New Roman, but they're kind of doofus rock. Like there's a boneheaded doofusnessness to which
Interesting.
I think is, and I made this argument on this pod with you that that is the appeal to me is it's like persona driven, right? And there's a kind of, and it's very
Yes.
schmaltzy old rock, like leather jacket. Like it is
Little
a
twirl of
little,
hair going down to your eyebrow, in
most
between the
certainly,
eyebrows.
yeah,
Yeah.
but it is because of all that, like this really kind of a cool experience. And they back it up, right? And listening to like Misfits has always kind of been that for me. But also, to be honest, I was not like a Misfits was like the patch that all the like more punkier kids at school had that
Yes.
it's hard to explain this. And I don't know if you had this experience of living in Lancaster or going to Lancaster High, but the punkier kids were not the rejects of like I think by the 2000s that had already gone away. Like the punky kids were kind of,
The
yeah, the
cool kids.
cool bro-y kids. They were not the reject loser types, whatever. And so I guess my experience of that band is different because to me they were already coded with like jerk. I don't know how to phrase it. Like, so I was always kind of like, man, take it or leave. Who cares?
I think the way that I can relate to that is they were the band that got too big for the back pocket at that point in time. You know, to where it's like, okay, you wearing a Misfits patch is actually going against your credibility within the punk community or the
They
hard rock
got that
community.
patch
It's
at
like,
Hot
of
Topic.
course you wear that.
It was
Yeah,
purchased in a mall at
exactly.
Hot Topic. Likely not with your money.
Yeah.
With
Yeah. And we're talking, this is at least, I mean, we're talking our high school days. This is almost 10 years after this became a
Wait,
major
so it's
single.
not fair to the band or this song, right? It's just, I mean, I guess that's just the context of it. So it's nice. I'm obviously a much more well-adjusted, totally over high school, 39, 30. How old am I? My 30. I don't know how old I am.
I'm in the
I gotta
39
be a year
category, buddy.
younger, but
Yeah.
it is nice to listen to it now because I really enjoyed it. And you're right in that it has all the kind of perfect ingredients of what we have labeled on this podcast as a quote unquote perfect song.
I feel like your term that you like to use, that I've ran into a lot, is intentionality, and the one I always use is sincerity. And we had an episode of I listened to randomly the At the Drive-In episode, and I think it has my favorite little like segment of dialogue between everybody. You can go back. I think it's At the Drive-In, an hour and 3 minutes in. Maybe I'll play. No, that'd be stupid to play it right now. But but I ended off using this like kind of sports analogy for it, where I say, you know, what do they call somebody shooting a 3-pointer and he just keeps making. He's like 6 for 7 from the 3-point line. They call him unconscious. Mm-hmm. This song, I feel like unconscious is that glue for intentionality and sincerity.
Interesting.
Where it's like you just have to go and do it and be it. And that's what I think this song has.
I like that. I like unconscious. It's very, and it's funny. Like I know you saying that, you're not saying that they're just like stumbling into this song, right? And like, and that's like when I use that word like intention, to me it is, I guess in a way that's craft, right? Where like we've been in garages or shacks, like being like, should I do this? This way, this part of the song, do we develop it this way? Do we do something different here? Do we do this? Or like, it's like the little needling conversations you can have with a bandmate over the course of like however long you're together that make a song kind of what it is. And I think it's the idea of like a band and a songwriter being on top of the song versus underneath it, right? And we've definitely covered, and like we know there are, you know, songwriters where they're kind of underneath their own songs, meaning there's just, they're either not really aware of how they can make decisions or they're not making the right ones. And a song like this is so refreshing for that, because it is, I want to say simple, because I don't think it's simple, but the pieces are all there. And like, you can just hear everything in the mix. Like I can hear the guitars working with each other. It's just such a cool experience.
Yeah. And it's so pointed and 101. Just like nobody's doing any, you've used the term accessible,
right?
This song, I'm like, you can pick up the guitar. If you've played guitar for a couple of years, you can learn this.
The riffs.
Yep. Maybe not the guitar.
I ain't pulling off that guitar solo anytime soon.
Yeah. The guitar solo definitely gets it in, but like everything, the drums, straightforward. Like there's no smoke and mirrors behind this.
It's that, like, it's funny. I looked up, it was described as heavy metal. And I mean, I guess we talked about this with Black Sabbath, where that conversation is very different now, but this is like a straight up rock and roll song to me. Like, and it's the riff. Yeah. It's like you said, the drums are a big part of it. Like I would say the end of the song, which I don't want to skip to that too quickly, but that it does change, but it is, I'll put it this way. I'm like a cursory Danzig admirer of like, cool. Like what he did seems cool.
Sure.
This was a cool listen in that, like, I may listen to more Danzig, maybe more Misfits. Maybe I'll get a patch. Maybe in my 40s, that's the time to do it. But
I can't wait to see that. But I'm on the same page. We're not evaluating this song from being Danzig fanatics. No. We are evaluating this song from being songwriting
fanatics. I already told you, when you said Danzig, my first thought was Aqua Teen Hunger Force. That's, I don't know how else to put like where I'm coming from.
That's essentially where I was coming from as well. But just this song has always stood out. But I'm actually really excited to get into kind of what makes this song tick.
Well, sure. So feel free. Start us off, sir.
So we start off with that really cool the B5 going to the G5 to the A5. Just cool, subtle. Again, rock 101, not difficult. But this is already set. And the classic, they do this a lot on the album, the little the offbeat. Drums doing something that like doom, tss, tss, tss. I was like, that's a cool move. I usually try to push away from that because the genre of music that I feel I write is like, no, you got to do something a little bit more different, if you will. But this one is just like, it's the obvious, we're going for it. And I got to use this term for how this entire song, this is like the not in the pocket in the pocket. When it comes to the band, like they're not,
Yeah, they're not tight. I think that gets more obvious to me, like in the choruses and in the end of the song. But yeah, I mean, very like D'Angelo-esque, right? I mean, this is before D'Angelo, but yeah, it's
the kind of puffing out your chest, like this is us playing.
Yeah,
which totally fits the vibe of the band.
Very analog, right? Like, and we've listened to, we've done enough classic rock in this cast, whichever one calls it, a pod. I think that's the thing that when you're listening to music post 2000s, especially I think like post 2020s, you're so trained to like garage band and like flapping it. It is, I could see how it's like a little bit jarring, but I mean, it's funny. I'm thinking of Black Dog now because Black Dog still bothers me.
Sure.
But I love it.
But you use the term jarring, and this is again where intentionally I'm like, it's supposed to be. This is not supposed to be a comfortable song. I think Danzig said he was just like, I wasn't setting out to write a hit song. He oddly, and it blew my mind when he hit up Rick Rubin.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I was just like, God, Rick Rubin's everywhere. But, you know, like he hits up and he goes, I think I wrote a badass song, which I do completely agree. And I mean, this is all based off of the we were talking about it during the break, the, you know, Tipper Gore and Al Gore kind of, you know, seeming to put like boundaries on what people should listen to. And the fact that that's what inspires this, I feel like the lyrics execute really well.
I think so. That whole conversation, which seems to happen every couple of years, it feels like we're due for that conversation again. I guess we're technically having it now, but it's very kind of politically driven, right? Versus it used to be far more like the kids, like you and I grew up in like that discussion with Eminem, right? But like,
who's the guy who I can't remember his name? Is it Lil Nas X?
Lil Nas X. Yeah.
He feels like the last time that there was kind of this like, okay, when he made that like Jesus Devil video. Yeah.
That was great. That was cool.
I was like, here we go. Open up the debate again.
But it feels like it's mutated a little bit, but it was very much like, I guess also like the music of the day, right? Because it didn't used to be, it used to be rock and roll. Rock and roll has not been dangerous for a long time. Like hip hop is like in that mantle, and obviously that's a different conversation. That's just racism, but like that's more all that is. And when you're a little on sex, it throw the whole, you know, homophobia in there too. But it's kind of a reminder, I guess, that it didn't used to be that way. And like I was asking you, I was like, God, is this Nancy Reagan? Like which older white conservative woman?
Yeah, I said Thatcher,
was upset Margaret by Thatcher. This stuff. Yeah. 'Cause before that it was oh man, I know like Prince, right? Like she was like listening to a Prince song with her kids that talks about like masturbating to a magazine or something. It's all very, I mean, to remind ourselves why we have parental advisory stickers on our records in the first place. It's cool. But I agree. The lyrics to me are kind of perfect for this song. And with Death Cab, the whole idea of like fumbling in some words that feel like they don't belong, like they kind of stumbled into like a dive bar and they're dressed in a three-piece suit. Like this song does none of that. Like everything is made of like rocks, sticks, and clay. Like it's very elemental.
Sure. Yeah, and I mean like just the, what's the line? There's obviously at the very beginning of it, but tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say.
Yeah.
Like that's such a good line because obviously it's kind of doing the danger of it all, but it's also kind of saying like, no, there's actually meaning behind it, but you're afraid of it. Don't let them, you know, don't let them off the leash.
And then he speeds up there, right? Because before that, it's like that mother kind of hangs and it's going with the dong.
Yeah.
And it speeds up. It's like, it's getting more agitated and it's kind of a perfect, like, that it ends back with the mother again. Like lyrically, it's like perfectly coded in with the music. I don't know how else to put that. Like it is, you couldn't have done the melody and like the rhythmic quality of it any different, I think, or it kind of falls apart. Because the other thing is that the guitars are doing this really cool, like left pan, right, like kind of duel where the first, like the rhythm is that like, dong, like you said, dong, dong, dong. And when the second guitar kicks in, that to me is the part where I was like, okay, because I've heard the song in the past, but it's the little leading riff that the other guitar does that's like just off, but it's actually, it's like kind of stumbling into the other chord. It's a very cool effect.
Yeah, I completely agree. It has that cool bounce, and in my head, I always want it to be more arpeggiated. But like my I think he makes, but with all of this cool vibing of the, like the lyrics are already kind of creating the deal. I get angry when he hits the father part, which I'm like, dude, that's perfect. He's invoking like, cause I have like the image in my, like of what my dad would think of. He heard that lyric, like father gonna take your daughter out tonight. Like, oh, like there's a part of me like, don't you dare touch Molly. You know, you know what I mean? Like, I know I have to bring it up, but it's just like, that's how good this song is impacting that nerve.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm just going to like, that's the danger of rock right
now. Like the whole idea, right, is like your children are not safe.
Or they're not yours. Well, you know?
Kind of both, right? And I am one of the dangers, but also so is everything else. Like it is, it's a very kind of cool implication. And it doesn't come off, which I think is important, as overly defensive. Like it's not a, like, I feel like all I'm doing is just playing past hits. But like with Eminem, one thing about his like pushback to like the cultural response to him was it did at some point, it was like feeding into, it was like, it's not me. Like, I don't know. There's a weird kind of defensiveness to some of that. And I think a lot of people get that way, but this is more, it has a kind of like playful coyness to it that's, like you said, even more aggravating and then more cool because of that.
And again, there's the underlying messages behind this. While he is trying to be brash, he's also making a good point.
I guess talking about the music is weird to me because like the verses and the choruses, like the music is like essentially, I wouldn't use the word perfunctory. It's just that point that it does exactly what it needs. Like the decision to go to the ride, like the bell on the ride, right, for the chorus is great. This is one of those songs that is not, at least in the verses and the first couple of choruses, not really heavy. Like the guitars are pulling a lot of that weight. I think in a lot of like hard rock songs, the question is kind of what brings the heavy, right? Not everything can bring the heavy all the time. And you can't have real deep distortion, real deep bass, and like a crash all the time. Like it gets, it's like an assault to the listener. Like we can't get that all the time.
It's, but, and yet at the same time, like think of the drums throughout this chorus. Like it has some of the most early in my drum playing, like obvious fills, you know, the like that little build toward what is the not about to see a light, you know, like those are such cliche things, but it makes the composition of it that much more honest and just pure.
And that's the weird thing is that the drums are, I would argue, pulling a lot of, when it comes to like the dynamics of this song, because the guitar is kind of in that same distorted mode. This isn't like a clean, heavy song. The drums are giving a lot more of the shape to what is the verse and what is the chorus. And so that's why you have in the verse that like slow escalation. Like you already pointed out the hi-hat closes right on the offbeats, and then it doesn't go to the snare right away. I think it goes to the snare, I think in the second stanza, right, of the first verse.
Yeah, when it hits, actually, I think it goes to the snare for
it's only
the
in
chorus.
The chorus, you're right. I think it is, and which is funny because I would say that's one of the main issues I have with this song is that snare sound. That's the only, we were bringing up like drum sounds before. It's just that, and there's a lot of bands that do that, like in, I think some of it's just like the mics. It's that analog sound that can sound really great, but it's so flat. I'm like, it just doesn't even sound like a snare. It sounds like a a rack tom with beans inside. Like that's
it doesn't bother
me. I
don't
know what it is. It's a bugaboo. But in the that's chorus, he does that build on the snare and the floor tom. Usually people, when you hear like bup, 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 with like the kind of heavier sound with the snare, they're going to the floor tom, which is the bigger kind of rack drum they usually have on the right side. And it gives that kind of cool build. I mean, every drummer does that. It's not like it's very, but he also does the, and if you want to, what is it? Want to see Hell With Me or something? That bump, bump.
If you want to find Hell With Me,
that drop that happens in each chorus. That's the one I told you. I had to keep listening. I'm like, do they do that every chorus? It's
pretty much
cool, right? Because it feels offbeat. Like it feels like it shouldn't be there. Yeah. But it's like you mentioned, it's very jarring. And it does give the chorus then it's this kind of jagged edge. Like the chorus is constantly in movement.
Oh yeah. And I mean, and like you can definitely tell there's no metronome on this. Cause you know, like cause when it hits that the till you're bleeding part, like the I can show you what it's like. Till you're bleeding. And oh, that's a little off of it, but it has enough of that push because they're all hitting at the same time to where I'm like, man, it has enough of that unease to it to where the music is matching the lyrics.
I'm a little upset because I feel like I've played off time my entire music career and it was a problem when I did it. But when I hear
again, this is where the unconscious of it all, the performance of it all, the delivery of it all, to where this song just pulls it off. I don't need to know anything about Danzig. I don't need to know his history. This song is already telling me it's dangerous. And so it kind of lends itself to musical decisions to where I'm like, all right, that's a dangerous choice. I like this.
And I
don't know if he says till you're bleeding there. Because it sounds when you listen to the song, it almost sounds like it goes like, God, I'm bleeding. You know, like that. It doesn't sound like till every time.
And this
I've
is where I hear like bands that were really influenced by Danzig and the Misfits, which I'd never thought of. But I'm like, that sounds like Davey Havok. Like now I'm like, what I saw in Davey Havok that was so cool. I'm like, oh, they're just Danzig. And like people who knew this for like 20, 30 years are like, yes, Colton.
I get what you're saying. I probably prefer AFI over at least as of right now. We'll see. Maybe a patch in the future. But I mean, to go with what you said, isn't Danzig a little bit like they're just Black Sabbath?
I mean, yeah, we could play this game all night, right?
Kind of, exactly. We can carry this. Somebody is truly carrying the torch. I don't know how far back we have to go.
Some like, well, probably just blues musicians. Like every blues guitar player ever is like us.
Robert Johnson is just going like, yeah, dude.
Just a bunch of like black folk from the South are like, yeah, us. We did it all.
Yeah, we were handling this.
Man.
You guys just did that little twirly hair thing.
The second verse is, I mean, and again, it's classic. Bands that are learning how to play off of a riff and learning like how to, because that's the issue, right? Is like, how do you give the song shape still when it's like everything's kind of the same and the guitar is like, for whatever reason, I mentioned before, I felt like every verse I was going back, like, what are they doing different? What are they doing? And honestly, it's just the drums. The drums is, I don't think even the bass I hear when it kicks in the first verse, and it's cool, but
you can definitely hear a lot more of that steady eighth note going
right, and that's where the drums are playing the eighths right in the in the second verse. So it's like it's rhythm section led, which is interesting because it feels like such a shredder like guitar forward song, but the rhythm section is kind of the skeleton of everything, which is cool. And I mean, that's the kind of thing that, like, even when they were playing this, it's not like that was this crazy deal. But I think it is the theatrics of it. And what's your read on Danzig's voice? Because I think in the second verse, we're already pretty well acquainted with it.
I think it's shockingly powerful. Like, he's hitting a high B when he hits the, you know, like the father, the holdout father. But this can go right alongside that. I'll answer your question in kind of saying, to where he doubles down on what he did in the first verse. This, to where I love that he still says, you know, you know, tell your children not to hold my hand. Tell your children not to understand. This is a shout back to the to hear what this means. Mm-hmm. You know, Tori, there's a little bit more of just like, this isn't necessarily a dark world, but you're just trying to protect your kids from something you don't understand. Or it doesn't mean it's horrible, but we're going to play on the danger. Because, yes, you know, father, do you want to bang heads with me? But, man, the power of the father.
That feels like, to me, that's probably my favorite verse. Like that or that little stanza, right? Because it is, there's like the weird kind of double meaning where it's like, do you want to like bang heads, like disagree with me about this? Or... Mm-hmm. Like, which maybe is the cornier reading, but it's something beautiful about it. Like, let's just bang heads, man. Let's just rock out.
You're absolutely right, though, because the following line is do you want to feel everything? Yeah. That almost sounds like a hippie's peace and love.
It's an invitation.
Like, come on in, man. Let's do this.
Based on what he said about your daughter, I don't think he is, but
You know, I saw somebody defending that line, the take your daughter out tonight, where it's like, you just got to trust your children, because it is this whole mentality of that boy's not right for you. Don't go hang out. That's dangerous. Tori, it's like, you got to trust your children to go and make the right decisions. And the 39-year-old in me rolled my eyes. No, you don't trust your children to make the right decisions.
I'll speak for, in fact, I'm like, I shouldn't even be the one speaking for, we both are I believe, like, not having daughters, there is something to be said about this. Fur is babies. Like the creepy, I don't even know if they do this anymore, it might have been one weird documentary I saw, like the fathers who like have their daughters do like a promise ceremony and they like go to like a dance with them, and it's all very creepy, like very like patriarchal kind of stuff, right? I like that lyric exactly.
Man, you said that very
exactly
well.
For what you already intended, which is it is a kind of come on, right? And it's that second verse though that kind of completes it. It's funny because the mother and father verses are on different tracks, and they kind of both achieve culmination. Like they both kind of resolve themselves in the second verse. But I do love the idea of like people who are afraid for like their children, right? Or for people they care about. Like it is like, it's fear, right? This is like, I respect that stuff from a distance. Like you mentioned, like it's, I'm afraid for my nieces because the world is ugly. I am scared for, you know, younger people because it's a very ugly place. But there is a kind of that super protectiveness, like it doesn't read to me. Maybe that's like you mentioned, the 39-year-old in me, like it's not ill intention. So I don't read it as such, but it's still also, it's suffering. Right. And that's what I love about that line is him saying you're suffering too. It's not just you're this, you know, flat top square headed dude that I hate. You can also enjoy this.
Yeah. Well, I think it all stems from the, you know, you fear what you don't understand. And I think there are so many people who try, like, I think what he's trying to get at with Tipper Gore is like, you don't even know what you're afraid of. You're just, you hear a bad lyric, you know, it's the classic, you know, any Karen hears loud hip hop music coming from a car, you know, and they hear certain lyrics, they go like, oh, well, this is clearly dangerous. Dorian's like, no, there's also performance in this. You know, when NWA had such a hard time, it's like, they're like, we're talking about things that happen. We're not saying we do this, but we're kind of performing it. Anytime you watch a movie, you want to see dangerous characters. Yeah. You know, you enjoy that aspect to it, but it's just like you have to take it with a grain of salt, but also try to actually dive into the behind the surface.
Yeah. And it's like, it's funny then that all this is coming from a song that on the surface feels very surface, like very, very like, but it is. It is a kind of a beautiful argument for art. Like I definitely see that as much as it is a playful retort, right, to like censorship and all that. But I think up until this point, like everything has been relatively reserved. Do you have anything else for like the second chorus that comes out for you or?
No, I mean, the second chorus is
the same as the first chorus. I just want to get to the shredding. And whenever we do, I want to ask you about it. The shredding.
The shredding. the B minor pentatonic. Yeah, I mean, this just carries it further. And again, his vocal delivery is tremendous on mm-hmm. this song. I really do think that the music is not enough. The instruments is not enough. It's his commitment to his, I dare I say, unconscious.
It is theatrical. Like, it's more of a performance than anything, right? Like, mm-hmm. it is, like, obviously it's sung well and it's very, like, impressive, but it also, like, to give that mother and, like, even going into the mm-hmm. chorus, like, that's affect, right? He's putting the sort of affect to his voice. Like, it's alluring. It is weirdly for, like, a kind of Spartan-esque kind of a song. It's very melodramatic, the vocal performance. It's like, it kind of reminds me of Morrissey, to be honest.
There's definitely that 80s, like, I can sing in a very similar way to where I can do that.
You should. You got it.
Like that. It's very kind of like operatic, like
that's
coming
the
from
word.
That. Like,
it is.
And so, I mean, it's hard to pull off. I feel like anytime I've even tried it, it's.
I mean, I've heard a lot of bands cover this song. Coheat covered this song. And I'm like, I mean, it's for sure. That's kind of the chorus is like very, I hear Coheat in it. Like, and like, it's also like Iron Maiden. Like, that's not like I've always seen Coheat as more of an Iron Maiden band than anything, but the vocals are not, it is very singular. I'll put it that way.
Well, he's got a very Jim Morrison.
That's right.
Not
I think
not
you
Coheat,
nailed it. I think it's just Jim Morrison. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's so, I mean, and that's not coming from any, I didn't pluck that out of nowhere. That is something he has said.
He's a buffoon.
There's a little bit of buffoon going on.
A poet, as an artist. I'll always think of Almost Famous when I hear Jim Morrison.
Give me the Guess Who. They have the courage.
I was not expecting, weirdly, and this song is old and I've heard this song, but I kind of forgot that the solo was what it was. It kind of caught me off guard. Like, it's not I was expecting more of a bluesy kind of slow, because like everything about the verses and everything has been, the guitars have been very kind of clockwork and like dun, dun, mm-hmm. dun, dun. And like even like in the
a lot of space.
Courses, there's a little more like notes leading into each chord, like, in which is again like your metal Iron Maiden. Mm-hmm. The solo did catch me off guard because I wasn't expecting that amount of shred in like that quick amount of time, because it's also not a fast song and it gets speed metally around the solo, I think it's a cool escalation. I'm saying that because like most things in this song kind of caught me off guard, and it's not long. Like, how many bars is that solo?
Oh, it's very quick.
Like,
yeah, it's what essentially, like, it feels like half the verse.
I think you're right. And it's and then we're already back into the course. I like it for all that. I think brevity is this song's best friend. And I don't say that as in God when it's the song over. It's just, that's again a question of like, how much can a listener take to what the song is trying to do? And I think most good rock, metal, punk songs like of this ilk, like 3:30.
Yeah, 3 minutes, 30 seconds. It's weird to hear you say that the solo comes out of nowhere. To me, I'm like, of course, guitar solo.
I mean, yes, guitar solo, but not that level of like.
I get. Yeah, but I even still hear space in it. I can see which boxes he's in doing the pentatonic. It to me, it's like, I agree with you maybe that it's like a little bit faster, but it just feels so appropriate. Mm. Like, this is absolutely where this song's supposed to go, and with this song trying to go outside of this clear box it's in, like, don't color out of the lines mm-hmm. on this. This song needs to stick to this particular attitude, this particular, you know, aggression, bravado.
You're on the other side of the curtain, though. That's the key. I'm still, when guitar solos come up, I'm still at the audience. I'm in the magic trick. I'm like, what's going on?
Yes, we have had this discussion.
Fingers are moving so fast.
Well, and don't get me wrong, it would take me It would take me a little bit
you
of time
do
to
it
get this
right
guitar
now. Get
solo.
A guitar,
but
do it now.
I feel confident. I feel confident I could play this guitar solo, but it's like it's still he's showing some chops with this. I'm not trying to take away at all from what he's doing.
This is just me throughout all of Rob and I's like songwriting. Whenever we've tried to songwrite together, and I go, "You got it. Just do it."
And that's I think that's exactly what happens in this song. Like when Danzig wrote this song at home before he hit up Rick Rubin. You know, just like, yeah, and right
Johnny,
here, I'll have
Johnny
blankety
Christ.
Blank.
Yeah,
Johnny, give us a freaking badass, you know, melt.
Is that the name on the driver's license? If they were starting in OnlyFans, would it have to be Johnny Christ?
I think that would just be username.
That's a username. That's a username for sure. I'm trying to make sure I get this right. The final chorus is also... See, here's the thing. When I first heard this song going into the final chorus, like when it did the da-na, like that thing we've seen in all the other choruses, right? I thought that was the only time they had done it. Like for whatever reason, it felt like that was where the band drops out again. And it does in the final chorus. And then I go back and listen to it and I realize it's happened every time. It's weird that this song is almost kind of hypnotic to me, where I keep having to go back to think things are different. And that's probably a Colton, not even a problem, like a Colton thing.
I think that's just kind of, how do I phrase it? Just the way it works. Like you have, the cool thing about short songs like this is when it finishes, you're like, okay, well, I got another 3.5 minutes. Let me listen to this again. I want to go back to this little part and just, it happened so quickly that all of a sudden you're picking up on something in the third chorus thinking it's the only time it's happened, but that's because in the third chorus that's when you're starting to realize that this thing is happening.
I think that's a really good way to put it. And it's when you do a longer song, like I'm thinking of Untitled, for example, right, where songs that are more about the groove, like you can, it's a world you can enter into, and this does feel like it's more like a firework. Right. It is the quick, like,
it's just different spots in the sky that it's the same firework. Right. You know, it's the same general like science, but it's in a different
spot. Is this
a
good time to just throw this opinion in? I don't get fireworks. We're coming up on 4th of July. Not a fan. Just
they can be really
my annoying. Neck usually hurts by the end. I've stared up at the sky and I'm tired.
I enjoy fireworks more when I'm looking at them. When I'm just hanging out in my house and it's just this like war going on outside, I'm like, this is friggin' annoying.
I'll just put a little PSA. Dear my neighbor who lives down the street and likes to set off fireworks at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday, buddy, you gotta stop. For me and my partner, first of all, but for you, secondary, come on.
And yeah, the sun is way brighter than that firework, so in the middle of the day, this is a really
bad
time.
Just listen to Mother and stare at the sun. Like, just do that, as Thrice would tell us, stare straight into the sun.
I like how we both went into a Karen rant while talking about, like, everybody cool with
the
fireworks.
They've got to know. Man. So I have a question for you. This is the only kind of bigger, very slightly critical note. Not even, I don't know. It's just, it's not what I don't know if it's not the decision that I think they could have made or should have made, as much as it might just be execution. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about that final freak out. I think the solo is fine. I think most of it's from the drums. Like when the drums move into the, like, I mean, it's like basically like 16ths on the snare, right? Like,
yeah,
it's, I think it's maybe that the sound I liked at least in the song was the snare sound. And at the very end of the song, they're like, let's have nothing but snare. It's just like big muddy flops on the drum.
I recommend focusing on the guitar.
Oh, it is great. Like the escalation, I guess it had to happen, right? Like they needed a freak out. And I don't know about the rest of the record. Where does this rate on like the heavy and freak out scale to the rest of the record? Is this slower? Is it about the same tempo?
I think that they are a lot more of the mid tempo type of heavy metal band. So this is kind of status quo for the album. Yeah.
Because if it's like, within the record itself, if it was kind of folded into like faster songs or whatever, it makes sense for them to want to add something to this. But also, I think this was written separate from a record anyway, right? This is just a
that could very well be. I didn't read any of the details behind the record. I just wanted to listen to the record. I happen to have a free afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
why not? Why not? Let me check it out. But it's all very much so, I have to use the term again, Rock 101. Like all of this stuff, you can kind of, it just all makes complete sense. There's not a whole lot of curveballs on this record. And even when you say like this last part of Mother, it's a curveball, but it doesn't have that much break. It's like, yeah, I can see why they did this. This is to kind of like, let's carry out this song. Let's do one actual shift from everything we've done. Because, I mean, this song doesn't have a lot behind it. It's the BGA for the verse and the GAB for the chorus. So Default American does it all the time. Let's move backwards on the neck. And then for the chorus,
ascension,
let's move
forward
descension. On the neck.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's, I think.
So this part gives it a little bit of a change to go like, we're finishing it, which is a comfort, where you can tell this song's about to
end. I think my favorite thing to do, which is how Colton would quote unquote fix classic songs, just do double time on the snare. Like, don't go into those like 16th. That's the only, like, I'll just put it this way. That's maybe the only zig that this song does. In like a, or zag, I should say. Like, it's the only thing this song does that is like unexpected to a level where I'm like, wow, that's like, I don't know if I've heard a band do it that way. To like escalate and do the kind of final heavy with like just pure snare. And like, I mean, he's hitting the crashes, right? It's more or less, it's his own little drum solo, but it's very snare heavy. But otherwise, very cool.
It feels like it's kind of a moment for the people in the crowd to go apeshit too.
People in the crowd,
because this is still you and I as songwriters, we don't write the same way as this, because they're anticipating going on tour, they're anticipating going out and having to perform this to
we're just like the Beatles, we just knew that we couldn't.
Hell yeah, dude. after we played Shea Stadium, you and I went, you know, I'm done doing this. Let's just hang out.
Not the time to do this, but, and it's weird. All I'm doing is reading out their stage names. Just, we've talked about Danzig a lot and Johnny Christ, but Erie Vaughn on bass and Chuck Biscuits. I do like the drums on this. And I also just like that his
name
is Chuck Biscuits. Actually, what's his real name? If it's actually Chuck Biscuits, I'll die. Charles Montgomery. No.
No. Me and a couple of friends, we were going to start a band where we all had nicknames, and I think I was going to be Bobby Nichols on drums.
Bobby Nichols. That's pretty good. Like, it Nichols is in like N-I-C-H-O-L or the currency.
The coin, the currency.
See, and I would have been like Mickey Dime.
There we go. Why not, Colton? Fucking steal my thunder.
I don't know why, but I have to point this out, that his Chuck Biscuits main influences, the Rat Scabies of the Damned and Topperhead and of the Clash, that's fine. But John Bonham and Keith Moon, very different drummers.
And also very cliche answers.
Of course. But I hear both on this song, and the final bit is all Keith Moon. And that's not a good or a bad thing.
I hear a lot more Keith Moon than I hear John Bonham. Just because John Bonham will twist it up. The thing I like about the drums in this song is that they're straightforward. They're what you would expect the beat to be. Mm. It's the most obvious beat.
I always think of Bonham as the kind of straight, like just in the pocket guy.
Oh, I definitely think in the pocket, but I always think he throws unorthodox to a straight.
Or maybe due to it for another Led Zeppelin thing. I don't know if I really mean that. I think Led Zeppelin scares me because it's the only podcast episode we've had to do twice. So I feel like we've already done a lot of Led Zeppelin.
The idea of wanting to do a third is kind of crazy to me.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, I want to check in. Anything else about Mother?
Absolutely. On the other side of this break.
There we go.
Yes.
DJ Brood is happy to bring you a proper session of music listening at the beginning of every week on Twitch. With rotating themes showcasing new music, hits of the past, and specific genres, there is most definitely something for everyone to enjoy. Tune in every Monday from 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific time as he broadcasts nothing but musical goodness live from the comfort of his home to the comfort of yours. Bedroom Radio, where there are no Monday blues, just Monday vibes. What happens when you get a bunch of obsessive music lovers sitting around a table and talking about every aspect in music? You get the Untitled Mixtape. Join Dango, Lewis, and Lorenzo in this educational but enjoyable podcast that encourages everyone to branch out and expand what they listen to. From deep dives to letting you know what is a bop or flop, the Untitled Mixtape boys are sure to take care of your music needs every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. The Untitled Mixtape, a Bassblown Entertainment podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Everyone. This is everybody's favorite segment when we close the show.
This is everyone's favorite part of the episode, the end of the episode.
The end is here. But first, we have to do our arbitrary ratings.
We do, which in this case are out of 100 because songs are 100, albums are out of 5, discographies are out of 10, and holiday or satire songs, novelty songs are out of 200, I believe we said.
I think that was right.
We'll keep adding. I know we have other things. Oh, movie soundtracks for musicals are out of 1,000. So yes. Just if you're keeping score, why? But also,
we appreciate it.
Really? Oh no, Miller literally keeps score. We really do appreciate it.
He does keep track of that. I assume maybe he finally came to his senses and stopped.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. So I feel like I should go first because it just feels more polite. For the person who didn't choose to go first.
I feel like we did make that a rule at some point, but we forget.
Here's the thing that to me, I don't know if you feel the same way. I think the person who chose the song should have the ability to either like the song more or less based on the other person's score.
I like that. Yes.
So this is one of those tracks where it's not a song I seek out and it's not a brand of songwriting that I go to see the artwork. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not like, there's all sorts of songwritings. I think people have this with everything, right? Like genres of film, like different forms of art. There are genres of all art forms that are probably more tuned to people's frequencies. And it's also, I think, like what gives them the ability to express things that's going to be in a way that really hits you. Like I was thinking about this with Modest Mouse, where I'm like, man, I think part of it is that Isaac Brock has such an ability to phrase things. Like the track I mentioned, Dogbed, it's very rare that a band I've liked for a long time still has songs that I feel like are speaking to me when I'm 38. Like they're not trying to speak to a band like a constant frozen in time audience. Like I hate to say this, like Newfound Glory is still writing songs for teenagers and they are not
very, you know, well, I mean? Put. Yeah.
And so I think there is something to be said about appreciating a song that is outside of my frequency, and and yet I think because of that it's still something that I feel like is somewhat at an arm's distance to me. Like I admire the hell out of the song, the craft of it. Or the ability to appear to have no craft, even though there is certainly a lot there. And knowing what we've discussed with other bands, to me, it's like, is this in the 70s or the 80s? That's the question. And I think it's in the 80s. And I think I'll go with, like, I know there have been tracks that have done this for me. I think like an 82.5. How about that? I think I grade my papers in 2.5 increments. So I'm giving it an 82.5, mainly because I'm pretty sure I gave Like a Rolling Stone an 85. And so putting Mother, I don't know, maybe I should give me your score and then I'll change my score.
It's not, that's we not literally just discussed. I get to either be better or worse.
Buddy, please. Okay, go ahead.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Dora. Like, this isn't a relatable song for me. I've dived into the darker underworld.
You know, the dark arts. Yes, of course. Yeah.
I just really the environment he's talking about. I'm like, yes, I've been in those dark corners of the world, as you may say. It's not necessarily my thing, but the thing that gets me behind the song is it is so true to itself. The script is perfect. Every facet of this song, including the fact that he's so up in arms against Tipper Gore on this. This entire album, not just this song, no profanity. Take that parental advisory and shove it.
Yeah.
Like, I have said so many things that have made you uncomfortable without saying, you know, fuck or the words that you're really trying to go mm-hmm. after. It makes it that much more of this perfect snub. Don't block yeah. my art. I adore that, and I just feel like this song so perfectly executes its intention mm-hmm. that I'm giving it a 95, which I think I gave to another song that I felt so perfectly executed its intention,
which
is My Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're hitting it. The music is right. Everything is going perfectly alongside the lyrics and what it's supposed to make you feel.
Yeah.
That I admire so much how this song came together. I probably would be let down if I was a fly on the wall.
I think it's very only because I'm the one who brought up Dylan, right? When we talk about these cockamamie song ratings we have, but I do want to make sure because you put that so well, and I think it is the fact that this song has a message and that it manages to carry that message in a way that is still not overtly obvious. And because of that, then boring and kind of like, it could have been from the very beginning, this really vapid song about, hey, don't blame me because of your kids. And it's so not that, which is very cool. I think this is another good example then of like, depending on the tradition that you're working from, it changes your ability as a lyric writer, right? To carry out the message you have. Like something that I always am like very jealous of with like hip hop is that's like the best way to carry out a message to me lyric wise, right? Because it's so lyrically driven. And so
you can be a lot clearer.
You can, and yet still be because of like people are not so much into the metaphor of hip hop as much as they are the technique of it. And I don't know if there's another art form where the technique is what really drives people there. I mean, it used to. Old man on the corner going, new hip hop, new rap today kind of sucks to me. But I do think folk music, for example, is a close second to me, lyric-wise, where the lyric really is the thing that drives it. What Danzig is working from in Mother is very different. The lyrics are not, he does not have a lot of space to do what he's doing. So if you're listening to Mother and thinking like, God, how can the lyrics be as good as some of these other things with like all of these ideas and, you know, kind of more prose-like or poetic-like things? It's because it's not the tradition. And it's actually, to me, much harder. Like, that's why I don't write music like that. It's harder for me to do that.
It's very difficult because you got to like squeeze it in between the lines to where there's so much more than just the word. There's a lot of intangible that goes into that. And they cover it. Like I said, I believe him. That's the first thing that delivers it. And then the music just has this rawness to it. So this carries it on further. It's all of these little like boxes that are really hard to even know where the boxes are to check them. But it checks them.
85.
Hey, 85. We raise it.
There I know I did the thing we didn't want me to do. I'm so sorry. But even I'm like talking myself into an 85. 87.5, that's it. And that's the last thing. No, 85.
Yeah. And oddly enough, when it comes to the artist Danzig, I'm not going to go in and praise the hell out of him, but I'm just going to say you nailed it with this one.
Yeah. I mean, was the whole idea that the lead singer of Metalocalypse was supposed to look like Danzig? Is that the point? I don't know.
I've always kind of felt like Metalocalypse it's kind of Danzig's got to be, the Misfits have got to be kind of one of their models.
Man, I got to watch that again. Metalocalypse. Good. Very good show.
I love the bassist. I can't remember his name.
I
who's kind of Flea-esque?
A little bit. Two things I got to mention.
I think it's the two.
Which is, one, I did not choose the new A Perfect Circle song for our Something New segment today as a favor to you. Because it is bad. Thank you.
I haven't heard it. Wait, what is it?
Oh, man. Something about light or stars. Starless. Something about there being no stars.
Oh, okay. Because I saw something recently to where a member of A Perfect Circle did a cover of Hey Ya, and they slowed it down to like this halftime, and the chorus is this really annoying, like, Hey Ya. You guys don't.
There is
get
a
it.
Circle of Hell that track, just having you describe it to me, that is what's playing in my hell.
It's bad, dude. Yeah, that's me stuck in a small room with a strobe light going constantly. Yeah. That song
is
on repeat.
What is the? We're using a lot of young phrases today. I think cooked would be the word. I don't know. I still have hope, but it feels cooked. I didn't like it, at least. And then the other thing is, I have to say, my row class, I do twice a week now. I go to a row class. We have rowing machines. I love it. What is it? Row House. Yeah. If anyone's interested, going to the gym.
I've used the little rowing machines. I wish I could afford one because I would.
I've been saving up. And by saving up, I mean really just waiting until I think it's appropriate amount of time. I'm not saving up. I'm like waiting, still spending the same amount of money and going, eventually I'll have waited long enough to where I think I deserve this. But I only say this because one of my teachers in one of the classes is a big Tool and a Perfect Circle fan. And she also plays Godsmack, which I've not heard in a very long time.
Just, we talked about it in the Tool episode. I hate that me being a Tool fan, I have had conversations with people. They'll bring up bands like Godsmack or I can't remember that one band that was really, really the
Seven Dust.
Back off. I'll take Tracked. You on.
I got them all. Tracked, I got them all.
They think that I like that. I don't know why there's this universe to where if I'm a Tool fan, I like that as well.
I'll say this. Godsmack is pretty cool to row to, and she's a very good teacher, but she played the outsider, and I've never rowed harder in my life. That was great. And yes. She's like, it's some Perfect Circle song. I can't remember which one it is. And when it came on, I was like, let's do this thing. We're going. And I was like annoyingly singing to it. I couldn't help it. I'm like, lie to yourself again. Suicide on never saw. Anywho. So I have not given you any clues. And I'll say this. This might just give it away. I know this is not going to be in time for 4th of July, but it feels like it should be our... In fact, I think this episode is going to be closer to 4th of July. I don't actually remember, but I still think the month of July to me is very 4th of July coded. So the track I am choosing is in line with that.
Okay, we can't be doing Born in the USA. That's a little too much Bruce Springsteen.
I mean, you're just going to go down the line and you're going to get it, but it's not the national anthem also. Although that would be such a flex to do the national anthem.
That'd be interesting. That would be
quite the flex.
Because then I would go like, wait, are we including the poem? Because it's much longer.
And it gets way more racist, I'm pretty sure, or something. I think it gets sketchy at the end.
I'll kill you if we're doing Proud to Be an American.
Well, no, I'm free. Is that the Charles Daniels band?
I have no idea who does it. I just know
that you're already giving me ideas for the future, though. No, so you're going to run out of tracks eventually.
Let's try another.
This is a weird. I'm being too. I just think it's so obvious you're going to get it, and I want this to go on a little longer because I like this. The one of the main images of the course is the name of a song that I wrote that was on our split.
Oh boy. Okay. See, I was going to go.
That's Burn at Both Ends, by the way, everybody. You can get it at either one of our band camps. Yes. Get it at Rob's Default American Band Camp. Not mine.
Sure. Actually, have we not put that on Spotify?
Have you not? That's a good split. Okay. That's a good record. I'm certain you could still buy it on vinyl if you got in touch with one of us.
I am
still they're around. The so if you're sitting here going, God, I wish I owned that vinyl, you can definitely own it. I got another one for you. This is a part of the pantheon of Weird Al Yankovic parodies. One of my favorites, if not my favorite, Weird Al Yankovic parodies. Like, I think it's like his best song he's ever done.
Wait, so we're doing Weird Al?
Weird Al has parodied this song.
Just because you're talking about America, I'm assuming it's Chevy from Chevy.
You're correct. Man, you are stumbling over it. You've bumped into it twice now, and you're like you're fumbling over it.
I don't know if you can tell, but I have not been on my A game.
You are on. You're great. You're perfect.
Okay, Chevy USA.
The parody I'm discussing was about Star Wars.
This is a long song.
We got time.
This is a long song. There's a lot of lyrics. Oh my God! It's the name's not coming to me. Hold on.
You're thinking of Don McLean.
Don McLean. Yes.
American Pie. Everybody. Happy 250th. I think. I don't know.
How long is that song? That song.
8 minutes,
is
baby.
Almost 9. Well, 8.5.
We got time. And do we like? Okay. Let's say this right away, and say this for all the lyric nerds, my fellow lyric nerds. I am not expecting us to annotate this song because you people have and you can. I do not think we should go through this and annotate every reference that he makes. But I do. I'll go ahead and be out in front with this. I think this is up there for me. Like for me, when it comes to like songwriting and lyric writing specifically, this is like tippy top.
It's very good. Buddy Holly would be proud.
It is beautiful. And I always love his very pithy comment when someone asked what American Pie meant. And he said, it means I never have to work again. And I think that's good. Great.
Yes.
So
that's how this
it's song a great
is.
Song. And if you've never heard it before, everybody, go in going clean.
Don McLean.
Please. I do not think the way to listen to this song is trying to catch everything. This is
no, there's definitely musical aspects to it.
It's not a song, it's a mural. That's my kind of opening thesis to this song. What makes it so great?
And it could get you
high. And it's also a song. It is actually a song. I should make that very clear. Like, so wait, it's a painting? What? No, it is a song. They're instruments.
After this, we're going to be doing the Mona Lisa. I hope everybody had fun with us.
Yeah, this is Know Your Paints.
This is kind of everybody. I'll see you two episodes.
That's okay. We should clarify. There is going to be a episode gap. Where you're alone with Colton.
My streak ends.
Yeah, man.
Cal Ripken Jr., I'm sorry. I've been on every episode. Next episode, I will not be on.
I'm going to go ahead and say this now so everyone's aware. We're looking at an Herculean effort to make sure this next episode comes out because I am not only going to be recording it myself, I'm going to be editing it myself. Mm-hmm. And
because I'm kind of mean and said, Colton, if I'm not in the episode, I'm not editing it.
I think that's very fair.
It's a little mean, but it's
I mean, I essentially said that to you when I left to go on my vacation, but I say that to you, I guess, every episode, so I don't know what to say.
Have fun editing.
This way, everybody. I don't still know, and not because I've been thinking about it a lot, but the pieces have not quite fallen into place yet. I may have a special guest. I may do something different, but here's the thing. It will be one episode only. We'll be back on track after, and it will be interesting. That is my promise to you. That's the goal.
Yes. And don't worry, everybody. Colton has let me down on his promises before. So if that happens,
you'll eventually, you know.
No, I'm looking forward to hearing the episode.
you
sincerely, that's not, that wasn't sarcastic.
In my head, I'm like, I think we're both like on the pretense of I'm looking forward to listening to the episode in scare quotes as it comes in.
I have a feeling it's going to be one of our shorter ones.
It could just be me like reading. I don't know. I'll just choose a book and read.
Just read American Pie. That'll take up some time.
Oh, my. This is going to be very good. I have one little snippet I got to tell everybody. The song American Pie held the record for almost 50 years of being the longest song to reach number one before Taylor Swift's All Too Well 10-minute version broke the record in 2021.
We could have said that.
I just needed next episode. I want to forget it soon, so I don't want it to like linger in my brain.
Lemony snippet
We really appreciate you. I appreciate you, Rob. This was fun. Thank you, Danzig.
Thank you, Danzig. And Coleman, I'm coming.
I mean, you're already there. I'm in some cabin in the woods. That's where we're not where we're supposed to be.
Now we explain the backdrops at the end of the episode.
Good luck to the Pirates. We're going to lose. Or no, what am I talking about? Oh, has the music faded by
now? How many different ways can we say goodbye?